Matthew 8:14-17. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases.
What I find interesting in this particular passage is it speaks of Peter's mother-in-law. This is her only appearance at all in the entire New Testament, in any of the books. I mean, here she is, mother-in-law. I always thought of Peter as kind of like a young fisherman, sort of having not enough to do, and this guy comes along and he says, "Well, okay, I have nothing better to do except for fish, so I'll follow you." But apparently he has a wife and family. So following Jesus is not going to be quite so simple as just putting your nets down and handing your boat over to somebody else. It's actually, he may be leaving behind a family as he goes to follow Jesus.
Yeah, there's a whole misunderstanding when we don't realize the significance that Peter holds as a owner of a boat and as in a family business of being able to earn income. The aspect of taking up his cross and following Jesus comes with a lot of cost. There's not only that aspect of having a trust that God would be his provider rather than what he can do in his own work of his own hands. But there's also an aspect of all of his relationships need to come into submission to his relationship to Jesus Christ. And that's a challenging one for us, especially the day in which we live. And if we're really honest, we have elevated family above God in the culture in which we live. And we idolize our family, and we do everything to bring homage to our family. We do everything to protect our family and all these things. And in that reversal, what happens, our family becomes an idol, not something that is a gift from God that we steward to bring reflection and glory to his name. And so this is really a striking passage given the context in which we live.
Several times, Jesus addresses this several times. I think he addresses it in the Sermon on the Mount, but he addresses it in other places as well. And it kind of goes like this: unless you leave your father and your mother, you can't follow me, which most people read as, in our time, because of what you just said, as, hey, this is upside down. What is he talking about? You can't, you know, be at war with your father and your mother, or, you know, this is, I mean, it breaks the Ten Commandments, et cetera, et cetera. But really what he is saying is, I am first.
Yeah. Lordship is lordship. I've used this phrase many times, and I don't know if I've used it in our conversation, but Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And I think I steal that from C.S. Lewis or someone. It's not original to me, but it's true. You can't have Jesus as Lord and determine what areas of your life he's going to be Lord over. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all.
And in the culture we live in, we talked about this before we started our recording, is that to make it, having Jesus as Lord of all is one of the hardest things in the world, because we have so many possibilities in terms of this, that, or the other thing, making it, whether it's our business life or our family life or our vacation life or whatever we're doing, it's very easy to create an idol, a new Lord, and forget the Lord who is Lord of all.